okay, if I don't. Obviously, now, just think, if I can practice these principles with her, I could be happy 10, 12, 14 hours a day. If not, and I'm painfully going to testify this, I don't stand a chance. I'll be fighting with her because I'm fighting with me, because I'm fighting with God, and I'm fighting with everybody and everything, okay? Obviously, now the same formula with my children. They're all grown up. It came up for Easter, and we had an anniversary celebration, yada, yada. Same thing. Can I admit how powerless I am over those children? They're grown-ups. They weren't my children anyhow. They were on loan for God, and, you know, they're God's kids, and that was a painful lesson. But in step two, can I come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity when I want to give them free advice? Oh, I hate when people give me free advice, and they don't want to hear it from an old fool like me. Say, we love you, Dad, but just go over in the corner and, you know, yeah, so on. Can I make a decision to turn their will and their lives over the care and direction of God? Can I make a searching and fearless inventory of myself when I still want to run my adult children's life? And it's the same process with them. Just think, if I can practice these principles in all my affairs with my children and grandchildren, the time that I have with them will be good times. If not, you know what it's going to be. It ain't going to be too happy of a household, and guess what? They ain't never going to come back, and they ain't going to invite me down where they're living. It's just that simple. So, obviously, I control, they try to resist, and we have no good times at all. Now, if I do that, then I can pick up as much time as I have with them. Here's where it is, we were just talking about it. How about during the day? Could I do it during the job? I heard somebody say, what an order, I can't go through with it. Okay, well, here's what it is. We all have somebody to answer to, I think, right? Yeah, you ain't got the man to answer to wherever you're at in there. Even if you're the man at your location, you still got middle management, upper management. Can I realize how powerless I am over my boss and that company and those procedures? Can I make the decision, or can I come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity when I want to run their company? Can I make a decision to turn their will and their life over the character? See where I'm saying? Through the whole 12 steps. We're not going to go with that. Now listen, when I do that, then guess what? I'm there at least 8 hours a day. I can be happy, joyous, and free there. So here's what we're saying about this. You thought 6 and 7 and step 10 put the screws to you. Here's where step 12 really does all of it, the last part of it. Aren't we saying that we have the tools? Oh, by the way, the tools are, spiritual tools are one thing and one thing only, according to this book. It's not a toolbox of the four absolutes and all the other things. I'm not saying that's not helpful, but according to this book, on page 25 and page 95, he tells us what the tools are. They happen to be called the 12 steps. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. So what I'm saying is, don't I have the tools to be happy? And some old-timer used to tell me this, and I used to get so pissed off because it was true. Anyhow, he was saying, you could be happy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, if you want to be, boy. But the big if, the qualification, if you practice these principles in all your affairs all the time. We can be happy as we want to be. Now that we have the tools, it's up to us to do it. Because guess what? God ain't going to do it for you. Your sponsor ain't going to do it for you. Your home group isn't going to do it for you. Your family isn't going to do it for you. Nobody's going to do it for you. Other people aren't going to do it. But with God's help and with other people's help, hopefully, that you've been around, then together you can do it. The tools we're talking about, of course, are the 12 steps. Like I said, we are the luckiest / grace people in the world. The rest of the book, and please, and I just beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the start, come back for the rest of this book. Because if you think tonight's good, you wait till you see what's in the rest of the book. The rest of the book goes into massively, masterly detail of the 12 step, all three parts of it. Bill includes all aspects of this step in the last 5 chapters and gives us a blueprint for life. Let's look at the first part carrying this message, chapter 7, working with others. He tells us what to do, what not to do, how to do it, how not to do it, when not to do it. And we're going to go ahead and get this out of the way, I suppose, while I think about it. And you might want to write this down, too. And it's so amazing to me. In this chapter, the 86...
is what we do, and 29 is what we don't do.
So I'm saying after tonight, there's nobody in this room that can say, I don't know how to sponsor somebody. I don't know how to work with somebody. If you do, then buy the CD and get it from Bob. So anyhow, okay. Okay, here we go. Yeah, all right, we got to go. All right. Oh, I'll be damn. Okay. Practical experience. E. Remember I said that? E. Remember what we said about experience. It's history. It's proven. It's undebatable. It's not a theory. It's not a philosophy. It's not an idea. It's an experience. Don't put a question mark after it. It is what it is. By the way, that's what this book is nothing but experience. 100 people who have recovered from the seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body called alcoholism. It says practical. I'll be damned, I hate when he does that. In other words, this book, these 12 steps are practical. Didn't say it's easy, it's practical. It's not a pie in the sky, it's not complicated or whatever, it's practical. Practical experience. Look how he jumps right out of the gate. Shows us that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive. That, by the way, is not occasional or random or whatever. That means blood, sweat, and tears. Intensive, that dirty four-letter word that ends with a K, you alcoholics hate, work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to alcoholics. That's why we went into great length, and we're not going to visit that again, but we know what this message is, okay? You can help when no one else can. Buddy, that's a big responsibility. So God's given me, he's taken me, he's saved me, but along with it, you have an obligation and responsibility. And that is, just think, if everybody would have got what they wanted and left when you came to your first AA meeting, guess what? You probably wouldn't be here, right? There would be no meeting, there'd be no fellowship, there would have been, you would all been done. I ain't got time to do that. Who's on tonight? The Indians? So no, they're rained out tonight. Sorry. Did I say that? I did. Okay. Okay. Now listen to what it says. You can help when no one else can. No one. Do you know why? We are the experts. Nobody knows what it's like to suffer from alcoholism other than us. Nobody knows what it's like to recover from alcoholism but us. I don't give a damn how much you read. I don't care how many letters you got after your name, PhD, CDC, or what. I don't care. If you ain't been in the gutter and you ain't done the deal, you ain't been in the gutter, you ain't done the deal. We're the experts. Don't we dare punt it off on somebody else. Okay, so. Sorry, I had that soapbox. Did I tell you I fell off that soapbox one time and twisted my ankle? It's never been the same, yeah. I beat you to it. Come on. So, all right, what does it say? You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they're very bad. No, come on, y'all, they're ill. That's what we've been talking about since then. He talks about disease one time, narrative of the fourth step. The rest of the time, it's ISM. Illness, sickness, malady. Ill. Oh, I suppose that's why we had the doctor's opinion. Explain the illness of alcoholism in body, in mind, and soul. Remember, everything's coming alive. Okay. It says, promise of this 12th step. Listen to what it says. Life will take on a new meaning. Never, ever had it before. And I'm here to tell you, I promise you that it is a promise in there. And if you are working with others, life will take on a new meaning. Okay. So many times when I'm working with somebody, something will come out of my mouth and I said, man, I got to remember that. And it's gone. The reason being, those weren't my words. They were God's words. I'm the wire. I mean, the power's going through. I'm just the pipe. The water's running through. That's all it is. It ain't mine. It's God's deal. So listen to what it says. And it says to watch people recover, not just quit drinking. We went at great length of that. To see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see the fellowship grow about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience. E word again. You must. That should, could, ought to, must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. I love this one. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. I tell you what, I'll be foaming at the mouth. I'll just be about on the edge at work, and one of you whack jobs will call me up, and it smacks me right back to sanity, or I'll get a text that says, God, thank you, God. Yeah, thank you, God. I'm telling you, it happens all the time. What is this? What is that one? True story, happens every day. I've been coming down to my phone, and thank God I don't take it upstairs, but I've been coming down the phone, and somebody gets up a lot earlier than me, poor guy, but anyhow, he does his prayer meditation, and he sends me what God's message of the day. It's short and sweet, but I tell you what, it's right on. I mean, it is right on. It's right on. Do yourself a favor. If you're not working with some people, please do. And please, and like I said, frequent contact with newcomers and with each other. Qualifies two different things. So, it says, perhaps you're not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover. Maybe a lot of them want to get out of jail. Maybe a lot of them get the mama back. Maybe they wanted all that. Recover! We talked the difference, okay, not sobriety. You can easily find these by asking a few doctors, ministers, priests, or hospitals. They will only be too glad to assist you. In other words, get this guy out of here, yeah. Okay, here's one of the, and we ain't going to count because we ain't got time. Here's one of the don'ts. Do not start as an evangelist, as a reformer. Unfortunately, a lot of prejudice, old ideas exist. You will be handicapped if you arouse it. Ministers and doctors are competent and you can learn much from them if you wish. That's a set-aside prayer right there. Now, how dare I not take help from our friends, ministers, doctors, psychiatrists, people in the treatment field? I tell you what, that's what the book said. Okay, now, and it says, but it happens that because of your own drinking experience, another E word, you can be uniquely useful to other alcoholics. So here's what we do. Here's what it is. We ain't going to sell. So, cooperate. We do that. We don't do this. Never. That's never. Anybody need a dictionary about that? Never. Okay. Never criticize. To be helpful is our only aim. By the way, he tells us once to discover an alcoholic, tells us once to search for an alcoholic, and seven times to approach. A lot of people will say, well, if they want it, they'll call me. Thank God Bill didn't wait for Abby. See what I'm saying? It was the dry alcoholic, the sober alcoholic, that went to the wet one. Abby went to Bill. Bill went to Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob and Bill went to Bill Dotson. Yada, 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 approach. Yeah, there's a lot of alcoholics, and guess what? We don't have time following them now. In fact, they're everywhere, okay? So, goes on to say, when you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find all you can about him. If he does not want to stop drinking, let's face it, y'all, we quit thousands of times, but I didn't stop till I got sober. Okay, so yeah. So if he does not want to stop drinking, another don't. Don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. This advice should be given for his family. They should be patient, realizing they're dealing with a loser. No, dealing with a sick person. Now look how he snuck that in. Working with others, but he jumped over to the family. And this is what I got when I was preparing this time, how it goes at. Now listen to what he just said. If we expect, we dare the family to be patient, shouldn't we be patient 10 times, 100, 1,000 more? Since we are alcoholics, we understand the deal. And I hear people in AA saying, he don't want it. Are you God, really? Are you really God? I got news for you. As long as somebody's breathing, God's got the power. He'll make the decision. Not me. Can you imagine one alcoholic judging another alcoholic? Happens every day long, don't it? Yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, it goes on to say, this advice should be given. We're dealing with a sick person. Okay, now, once again, if there's any indication he wants to stop, not quitting, there's a difference, have a good talk with the person most interested in him, usually his wife. get an idea of his behavior, his problems, plural, not problem, plural, problems, his background, the seriousness of the condition, and his religious learnings. You need this information to put yourself in his place to see how you would like him to approach if the tables were turned. There's different ways to reach different people. In other words, there's a chink in everybody's armor when you're drinking, and there's a chink in everybody's armor when you're an Alcoholics Anonymous. You got to find out where the chink is, where the weak part is, and you will get to him or her a lot quicker, whether that be spouse, kids, whatever their deal is. Everybody's got a chink in there somewhere. That's what they're talking about in that, if you can. Okay, now it says, sometimes it's wise to wait till he goes on a binge. The family may object to this, but unless he's in dangerous physical condition, it's better to risk it. Uh-oh, another don't. Don't deal with him when he's very drunk unless he is ugly and the family needs your help. And you better be careful with that one, too. Wait for the end of a spree or at least for a lucid moment. These next two questions, look what it says about the family, but I use these questions when somebody says, will you help me? And remember the two questions on page 44, if you're alcoholic or not. These are two questions that qualify if you want to quit and not, or stop, or, well, yeah, if we want to stop and not quit, if we want to do recovery, listen to them. Okay. Let then the family, his family or friend ask him. Number one, if he wants to quit for good, that's forever, by the way, not just a day at a time, forever, and we talked about the qualifications of recovery, and if he's willing to go to any extreme to do so. Any extreme isn't 90 meetings in 90 days. It's not to call me every day. It's not to fake it till you make it. It's not to get the two home groups, not to cheer me. Any extreme, we've been going through this from January till now. That's the extreme we're going to. That's what he's talking about, because guess what? The extreme to do so, there was none of those things that we were talking about when this book came to print April 10th, 1939. That's the willing to go to any extreme, this book. Those two questions. And if you can't answer, then guess what? You might want to go out and finish it up. And you know what? And it sounds bad, I would never do it, but you know what? Sometimes you got to let the clown finish his act. And I hope he or she lives. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. And by the way, when he talks about it, and we get to that point of it about God, don't worry about talking too much about God. Somebody says, my God, you're going to run a newcomer out. I said, I don't give a rat's ass, because whiskey will run him back in. That's what the book don't mind talking about. Why would I do any different? It's not my deal. I didn't write it. Here it is right here. Okay, now listen to what he says. Okay, now, and it says, if he says yes, then his attention should be you as a person who is not drinking. No, recovered! We went to great lengths of talking about that. You should just be described as one of the fellowship, not the program, two totally different things, who is part of their own recovery. You know, see, split that, not sobriety, okay? Try to help others who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. Perfect. If he does not want to see you, never force yourself upon him. Could you imagine that? Breaking the door down. Neither should the family hysterically plead with him. Why? Remember the doctor's opinion. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Roman numeral page 26. It don't matter. That don't work. Frothy emotional appeal from outside. My own frothy appeal, emotional appeal with myself. That don't work. If it did, we would all be sober. We wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need this book. We wouldn't need these steps. See you happily ever after. It don't work. And that's what it says. So remember, everything that we've been going from January till now comes apart. Okay, plead with him to do anything, nor should they tell much about you. They should wait for the end of his drinking bout. You might place this book, first time he mentions this chapter about this book, where he can see it in the interval. Here, no specific rule can be given. And the reason we don't enforce sobriety, we got two things that are more benign than that. It's the same thing that makes the traditions work in tradition two. We've got two authorities in Alcoholics Anonymous. One of them's whiskey. And I can tell you, Ed, that is a powerful thing. And whiskey says, if you drink it, I'm going to kill you. The other power more powerful than that is God. And he's saying, if you do my will, I will save you. That's why we don't need any other authorities in Alcoholics Anonymous. You ain't got no two higher powers than that. One's going to kill and one's going to give you life. And this is what we're talking about here. So we don't enforce sobriety. And while I'm thinking about it too, about newcomers, and we'll talk about it later, when somebody's sobriety slash recovery means more to me than it does to them, we're both screwed. So I can't give you willingness. I can't have you have the desire. I can't, you know, but I'm saying if it's more important to me than it is you, you're screwed and I'm really screwed. What do they call that? It says, where is that, Alan? Do they call that codependent? That's something I used to cheat on my taxes about that, codependent. I'd write up people I didn't have on there and I'd claim them. And that's a different story for a different day. Is that what they call that over there? Where is she? She's around here somewhere. She's probably turning red about now. So anyhow, she don't turn red. So where was I? Oh, yes, that's right. Now listen to what he says. Working with others. Look at what the next two words. The family. See, it jumped alive all the times I've been through this last night. It really jumped alive. The family must, not should, could, ought to, decide these things. But urge them not to be over anxious, for that might spoil matters. Now, wait a minute. He just told us to be patient on 90. Now he tells us not to be over anxious. Once again, if we're telling them, how much should that be for our own? We need to listen to our own advice. We need to listen to our own program and need to follow our own book. So it goes on. Unless the family, and usually the family should not to try to tell your story or his, unless we ask. When possible, avoid meeting the man through the family. Approach through a doctor or an institution is a better bet. If your man needs hospitalization, he should have it. But not forcibly, unless he's violent. Let the doctor, if he will, tell him that he has something in the way of a solution. Oh, that's right. Chapter 2. There is a solution. Oh, I get it. Okay. Mm-hmm. When your man is better, the doctor might suggest a visit from you. Though you have talked with your family, leave him out of the first discussion. Under these conditions, your prospect will see he's under no pressure. You feel that he can deal with you without being nagged by his family. Call on him when he's still jittery. He may be more receptive when he's depressed. By the way, that's the third time when he says, let the guy do the drinking and then go after him. Okay, something about that, right? See your man alone, if possible. At first, engage in general conversation, but after a while, turn your talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking, not his, habits, symptoms, and experiences. Encourage him to speak of himself if he wishes, let him do so. You will thus get a better way of how you ought to proceed. If he's not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking, not his, career up to the point in time you quit. But say nothing at the moment of how that was accomplished. If he's in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. If mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his. When he sees you know all, not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a bit, all about the drinking game, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. How do I do that? Through the doctor's opinion, that's how I do it. Sick in body, mind, and soul. Remember, the message must have depth and weight. Roman numeral 26, doctor's opinion. And all about the drinking, properly armed with facts, page 18. Remember, everything that we've had, he's telling us, now you got to know where it's at, and you better do it, boy. Because if not, you ain't going to get it. You're just going to lose or him or her. Okay? And it says, it goes on, as an alcoholic. Now, tell them about how baffled you were. Oh, I'll be damned. Page 23 and 34. I need to know how baffled. Why was I baffled? It's right in the book. That's what we've been doing since then. The insanity. Okay? Remember more about alcoholism, that whole chapter about that. Okay, how baffled you were. How finally that you learned you were sick. Give them an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show them the mental twist which leads to that first drink of a spree. We suggest you do this, and we've done it on the chapter of alcoholism. Oh, chapter 3, I believe that is. Yes, it is. Second time he mentions in this book, working with others, about the book. Okay, second time. I'll be damned. So now he's telling me doctor's opinion. I get it. An example of that in Bill's story. So now we're in chapter 3. I get it. Everything that we've been doing until now, this is how I'm supposed to be working with others. Okay. Now, and it says, if he's alcoholic, he will understand you at once. He will match your mental inconsistency with some of his own. If you're satisfied that he's a real alcoholic, oh shit, page 21, by the way, if you weren't here. Remember I told you, you got to know what page 21 is? The page 164, here's what it is. How can I ask him or know if he's a real alcoholic if I don't even know what it is? Page 21, I got to understand it, and I got to be real alcoholic. Okay, now he goes on to say, real alcoholic begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady, which is the insanity, condemned to drink, condemned to die, okay? Show him from your own experience, E word again, okay? How the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of willpower. Okay, another don't. Don't at this stage refer to the book, number 3, I mentioned the book, unless he's seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea, he can still control, we talked about that when he uses the word control / choose, his drinking. Tell him that that possibly he can if he's not too alcoholic. But don't try to laugh when you say that, okay? But insist that if he's severely afflicted, oh, that would be real alcoholic, page 21, okay? There may be little chance he can recover. Not put the plug in the jug. We're talking about recover from alcoholism, okay? By himself. Continue to speak alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Allergy, obsession, spiritual malady, allergy of the body, mental obsession, condemned to drink, condemned to die, okay? Talk about the conditions of the body and mind. We talked about that. And obviously, the physical allergy, the mental obsession which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience, not his. Explain many are doomed who never realize the predicament. One study I read, 97 out of 100 alcoholics die from alcoholism. Most of them don't know they're alcoholics. Out of the 3 that don't die from it, they stumble into AA. 1.5 out of those 3 get sober and stay sober. So statistically, 1.5 out of 100 of us recover from alcoholism. That ain't too good odds. Hey? It's not too good of odds. So you tell me who's got the power. Should we be here tonight? I know I shouldn't be. I know about that God feller, about the grace and the mercy and loving and kind and all that. I know we're all about it tonight. So now listen to what it says. Okay. And it says, doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. But you may talk to them about the hopelessness. Oh, he uses hopelessness on here, but we do offer the solution. You use hopelessness twice on this page, okay? Of alcoholics, we offer you a solution. There is a solution. You will soon have your friend admitting that he has many, if not all, the traits of the alcoholic. If his own doctor is willing to tell him that he's an alcoholic, so much better, even though your protege may not entirely admit his condition, he has become very curious to know how you got well. Not how we quit drinking, not how we got sober, how we recovered. We got well. There's a big, big difference, okay? Let him ask you this question. Here's where he's baiting you, if he will. Squiggly writing, that's italics, it means it's twice as important. Tell him exactly, not close, not sort of, not in a general way, exactly what happened to you. Okay? Stress the spiritual feature freely, not religious. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your own conception of God. By the way, if we're not sure how to do that, page 12, 46, and 47. Remember everything that we've learned. That's how we do the own conception of God thing, right? Okay. And it says, provided it makes good sense to him. Squiggly writing again. The main thing that he'd be willing to believe in a power greater than himself, and he lived by spiritual principles. That would be page 46 and 47, and I'm sorry I'm putting the page numbers out, but I'm not, because this is what he's telling you how to do it, and that's where the directions on the book are how to do it. That's how it working with others. Okay, now it goes on to say, and by the way, it says spiritual principles, which are the steps and not religious principles. It says, when dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles, not religious. Okay? There is no use arousing any prejudice, old ideas, he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Another don't. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your own convictions are. Okay, your prospect may be belong to a religious denomination. His religious education training may be far superior to yours. In that case, he's going to wonder how you can add anything that he already knows about. But he will be curious why his own convictions haven't worked and why yours seem to work so well. He may be example of the truth that faith alone is insufficient. Faith without works is dead. Page 14, obviously 15, 16, 88, and 93. And it's real simple. When you are in a treatment center, if they're wondering about why it works, tell them that you've got the clothes on that you picked out this morning and he doesn't. And when you are in the penitentiary or the jails, when they want to know about that, say, I get to go home and you have to stay here. I mean, it's real simple to get to where their thing isn't working, because if they knew it all, they wouldn't even be where they're at. Now, you hate to be so blunt, but a lot of times you have to get to the factual part of where they're at and why they're there. So, and it goes on to say, obviously, qualifications to be vital. Remember, we talked about that when he uses that. That's a matter of life and death. When you're in intensive care, they check your vitals. And if your vitals go too low, you die. So this is a matter of life and death. It says to be vital. Faith must. Not should, could, ought to. Here's how it is. Faith is a great thing, but it must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. Not thinking, not reading, not talking, action. So faith without works is dead. And that's what he just got done telling us. And nobody guessed work on that. Everybody's got that, right? Okay. Let him see that you are not there to instruct him about religion. Admit that he probably knows more about it than you do, but call attention to the fact, however, however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it, or else he would not drink. So obviously, it's not what you know; it's what you do with what you know. And we talk about later on here; those are two qualifications of the spiritual life as in a theory. We must live it to be vital. Must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. Okay, and then it says, he could not have applied it, or he would not drink. Perhaps your story will help him to see where he's failed to practice the very precepts he knows so well. So obviously, it's no good in what we know, it's what we do. And it says, we represent, obviously, no particular faith or denomination. We're only dealing with general principles common to most denominations. Outline the program, not the fellowship, of action, 12 steps. Explaining how you made a self-appraisal, inventory in step 4, and you do it in 10, and you do it in 11, okay? How you straightened out your past, how you did that in steps 8 and 9, oh, you continue to do that in 10 and 11, got it, okay? And why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It's important for him to realize that your own attempt to pass on to this plays a vital, life and death, part of your own recovery. In other words, guess what? I don't have an option. I must do this. It's like the Dead Sea. You know what the Dead Sea is? It all flows in, nothing flows out. Therefore, it's a Dead Sea. Nothing lives into it. This is the same thing with this thing, recovery. In order to get it, I got to give it. It don't happen any other way. Okay. So now it says, actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. And that is so true. Make it plain that he's under no obligation to you, that your only hope is that he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. It suggests how important that he places the welfare of other people ahead of his own. And he will give you the deer in the headlight look. In other words, there's somebody else in this world besides me. But spirituality, out of self into others. That's why I am here with you today. That's what you explained to him, okay? Make it clear that he's not under pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off. You didn't ask him to get married. You're just trying to help him, okay? For he has helped you more than you have helped him. So thank you. Okay. So, obviously, the second time it tells us that the new man helps us more than we help him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. And I talk about that. My job is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comforted. So, yes, have at it. Okay, now it says, This is all to the good. The more hopeless, third time he uses it in this chapter, he feels, the better. He will be more likely to follow your suggestions. Your candidate may have good reasons why he may not want to follow all the program. We talked about that, the yeah buts and I'm a gonna and you don't understand and all the things that we talked about. He may rebel at the thought of drastic house cleaning. Oh, so in other words, he may not want to do that fourth and the fifth step, which requires a discussion with other people. Another don't contradict such views. Tell him you once felt the way he does, but you doubt whether you would have made such progress had you not taken action. It's so important to do that. On your first visit, tell him about the fellowship, not the program, two different things of Alcoholics Anonymous. If he shows interest, lend him your copy of this book. Four times in, if you're going to lend it that, you probably won't see it again, so you might want to take another one with you. If it's, I ain't lending this to nobody. How many thousands of hours? Oh, hell no. So anyhow, yeah, I'll give you a knockoff. How's that? Here it is. So, yeah, I said it. So anyhow. All right, now, unless your friend wants to talk further about himself. You ever heard an alcoholic don't want to talk about himself? That's all they want to talk about, right? Okay. Do not wear out your welcome. Give him a chance to think it over. I said should give him a chance to drink it over. I mean to think it over. If you do stay, let him steer the conversation in any direction he likes. Sometimes a new man is anxious to proceed at once. You may be tempted to let him do so. This is sometimes a mistake. Couple reasons with that. He's going to tell you why, but also two, my experience has been it's time that we fit ourselves to Alcoholics Anonymous, and Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't fit to us because we never get better. For the first time, I need to follow directions from another man, whether I understand them, whether I like them where I want to or not. That's the only way I can recover. That's the only way I can get well. But here's the real reason if we let him run the show, huh? Okay, and it goes like this. It says, if he has trouble later, he's likely to say, you rushed him. So when he gets drunk, it'll be your fault. Okay. You will not be most successful with alcoholics if you do not, another don't, exhibit any passion or crusade for reform. Another don't. Never talk to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools. Oh, we talked about that. Page 95, there it is. And the spiritual tools laid out are the 12 steps. Okay, got it? For his inspection, show them how they worked with you. Offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him if he wants to get well, recover, not just quit drinking, you will do anything to help. Obviously, that's 12 steps, and we'll do anything to help. Bill Wilson said you can lead an alcoholic to water, tell him how good he is, but if he's still crazy and prefers to drink beer, let him do it. And then he'll get it or not. It's the only exact words. Can lead him to water and tell him why it's so good, but if he prefers beer, let him drink it. That's none of my business, and it's real simple. What you do with your sobriety, mister, is your business. Yes. What I do with mine is mine. And judge not and be not judged. And don't be picking up stones and throwing it at glass houses. We talked about that. Everybody living in a glass house, those stones that you're throwing, they break and they come down. When somebody throws it at your house, watch out. Those shards of glass will cut your jugular vein and you'll bleed to death. But if you're not throwing one, guess what? They ain't going to throw them back at you, right? Okay, here's how it goes. If he's not interested in your solution, what is your solution? Hopefully by now it's this book, God in the 12 Steps. Remember, there is a solution. Not my solution. Your solution, our solution, okay? If he expects you to act only as a banker for his financial difficulties, a nurse for his sprees, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. Wait a minute, you ain't going to come bail me out? You ain't going to take me here? You'd be surprised, okay. And it says, this he may do after he gets hurt some more. If he's sincerely interested and wants to see you again, ask him to read the book. All right, now we're down to it. Fifth time he mentions the book in this chapter. After doing that, he must. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. This is qualifications from the new guy and to everybody in here. I don't care how long you've been. This is qualifications, and look where he put this. Qualifications for recovery. He must, not should, could, ought to, decide for himself Not for the courts, not for the sponsor, not for the home group, not for his wife, not for his mistress, not for the husband, not for the any of that. For himself, okay? Whether he wants to go on. Thine own self be true. That's well with all of us. Do I want to go on? I must decide for myself, okay? He should not be pushed or prodded by you or his wife or his friends. And here's the qualification for recovery. If he wants to find who? God. Not the sponsor, not the therapist, not the psychiatrist, not the home group, not all the helping hands. God, the desire must, not should, could, ought to, come from within. Talking about separating the men from the boys, that's going to qualify your recovery right there. I'm going to go ahead and read it again without breaking it up, okay? Okay, he after doing that, he must decide for himself whether he wants to go on. I got to make that decision every morning, don't I? You better believe it, okay? Then he must decide whether he wants to go on. Shouldn't be pushed or prodded by you, wife, or friends. If he's going to find God, the desire must come from within. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And yes, those are requirements for recovery. Like it or not. It goes on to say, if he thinks he can do the job some other way or prefers some other spiritual approach, not religious, encourage and follow his own conscience. We have no monopoly on God. I love that. Okay? Merely we have an approach that worked with us. Okay, now obviously, we merely have an approach that worked with us, but point out that we alcoholics have much in common and that you would like, in any case, to be friendly. Let it go at that. Perfect. Now, he tells us what to do with this. It says, do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search for another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you have to offer. What do you have to offer? Hopefully this book, your experience, and God. Okay, that's what we're offering. I love this. A lot of people get offended. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work the steps with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon be convinced that he cannot recover, not put the plug in the jug, by himself. To spend too much time on anyone's situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live happy, or the opportunity to live and be happy. In other words, that's recovered. One of our fellowship failed entirely. His first has done this prospect. He often says that if he continued to work with them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered, not just not drinking, of their chances. Suppose you are now making a second visit to your man. He has read this volume, sixth time, and he says he's prepared to go through the 12 steps of the program of recovery. I think once and for all, we know what the program is. It's the 12 steps that's in this book. It's not 90 meetings in 90 days. It's not to fake it till you make it. It's not to be selfish. It's not to be all the stuff that we hear in the fellowship. What he just got done telling us, what is the program of recovery, the 12 steps in this book? Once and for all? No, not really, but it sounds good, don't it? Okay, now it says, okay, having had the experience, oh my God, he's beating us to bed. E word, we've done it. We've done the deal. Okay, having the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. I can't talk about Chicago unless I've been there. I can't transmit something I haven't got. I can't give you instructions, suggestions, unless I've done them myself. I can't lead you where I haven't been. Okay, it's imperative. Okay, and then it says, let him know that you are available if he wishes to make a decision, tell a story. If you want to do a fifth step, I will, but do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else. He may be broke or homeless. If he is, you might try to help him about getting a job or give him a little financial assistance. But you should not deprive your family or creditors of the money they should have. If you made arrangements on the amends process to make your payments and taking somebody in is going to interfere with that, it says don't do that. If you're taking them into your household and you have a family and it's interfering with them and your obligations, your responsibilities, unless they say it's okay, it says what to do and what not to do, okay? And it says, perhaps you want to take the man into your home for a few days. Be sure to use your discretion and make sure you got insurance on your stuff. Okay, yeah. I woke up. I heard this one guy say, I woke up, and he thought, He thought he was getting divorced again. Everything was gone. Last time his wife took everything. When he came home from work, he had nothing there. But it was the new guy who stole all his shit. Yeah, so anyhow. Yeah. He thought he was getting divorced again. But anyhow, where was he? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Use your discretion. Be certain he will be welcomed by your family and that he's not trying to impose on you for money, connections, or shelter. Permit that and you will only harm him. You will be making it impossible for him to be insincere. You may be aiding in his destruction rather than his recovery. In other words, when they're sleeping on the couch and you get up and go to work and you want to clean up and they start bitching about you making too much noise in the morning, it's time for him to get off the couch. Now, yeah. Yeah. Now, a serious side about that is, Bill Wilson coined this, we're killing him with kindness. Him and Lois went away for a weekend. They came back home, found the guy, stole all their clothes. He was a chronic gambler, lost all the clothes, couldn't handle what he did, turned on the gas in the oven, put his head in the oven, and he was dead. And the house was full of gas. And that's when Bill said to Lois, we're killing him with kindness. Yeah. Killing him with kindness. And he goes on to explain that even further. Goes on to say this. Never avoid these responsibilities, but sure you're doing the right thing if you assume them. Here's what it is. It's a slippery slope. Helping others, spirituality, is the foundation stone of your recovery. Foundation stone of your recovery. We know the foundation stone of sobriety is step one. So we got two different foundation stones of sobriety and of recovery. Helping others. Okay. Powerful. Now, it says, a kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to act a good Samaritan every day if need be. Okay. Now he's going to talk about 21 things that will happen to you if you assume the responsibility. And here they are. It may mean the loss of many nights' sleep, great interference with your pleasures, interruptions of your business. It may mean sharing your money and your home, counseling frantic wives and relatives, innumerable trips to police courts, treatment centers, sanitariums, hospitals, jails, and asylums. Your telephone may jangle at any day or night. Your wife may be, sometimes she's neglected. A drunk may smash your furniture in your home or burn your mattress. You may have to fight with him. He's violent. I had a guy I sponsored, and he was really violent. He didn't remember a damn thing out of that book other than he said, it's still okay to fight. I said, no. Yeah, isn't it funny what you key in, what your mind, what you focus in on? I'll never forget that. Anyhow, yeah. I said, no. Yes, but no, we'll have to explain that. Anyhow, sometimes you have to call the doctor and administer some sedatives under his direction. Another time you may have to send for police or an ambulance. Occasionally you will have to meet these such conditions. So, now he goes on to tell us many sacrifices, inconvenience may be occurred, etc. We talked about them, 21 things. Now, he gives us some new advice. We seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes for a long time. It is not good for him. And sometimes it creates serious complications in the family. I say it sure could. And talk to about your spouse about that. Okay. Though an alcoholic does not respond, there's no reason why you should neglect his family. He jumped out from working to others into the family. Remember what we're coming up to the wives, the family afterwards, the employers, a vision for you, okay? So cool how he jumps. He just makes a quantum leap in one sentence. He goes from working with others to the family immediately. Okay, anyhow, it goes on this. You should continue to be friendly to them. The family should be offered your way of life, not your way of not drinking, your way of life, the 12 steps, spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. We have a design of living. Obviously, that's why Al-Anon has taken the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and changed one word. Should they accept the practice of spiritual principles, the 12 steps, by the way, and it is not religious principles, there is a much better chance that the head of the family will recover, not just quit drinking. And even though he continues to drink, the family will find life more bearable. Isn't that cool where he put that, working with others, and that is the whole idea of the Al-Anon fellowship. Whether the alcoholic gets sober or doesn't get sober, you will recover. You will get better regardless of what he or she does, the alcoholic in your family. For the type of alcoholic is able and willing to get well, not quit drinking, okay, recover. Little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. The men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track. Remember, recovery is always inside out. Obviously, we get right with God mentally, then we get better physically. Remember what we went to great lengths to talk about that? We just got done saying it. Remember, everything from the cover page to this chapter comes alive. Nothing in this chapter is first time exposed. Okay, now, obviously, and it says, we go to great extremes to provide each other with these very things when such actions warrant. This may seem inconsistent, but we think not. Here's what it is. Okay. I'll put it in the terms that we may understand. When working with others, you might have to be a soul saver or an ass kicker. And I don't know who you're working with, but sometimes you got to be both or one with the other, and people are different. And goes on to say, it's not a matter of giving that in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on the service plane, the alcohol commences to rely on our assistance rather than upon God. Oh, those qualifications are right. If the desire's got to come, I get it. Okay. He says he clamors for this and for that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. And boy, I tell you what, I clear out the car a lot of time from treatment centers when they start talking about, well, I need this, I need that, or whatever, and we go to this page real quick. We cut to the chase. It says, job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking as long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence upon God. Oh, that's right. That's what I thought he said on the two pages before. He did. It's not upon anybody or anything other than God. Love this one too. Qualifications for recovery. Burn into the idea of the consciousness of every man that he can get well, recover, regardless of anyone. That's ex-wives, that's your childhood, that's your parents, that's your current, whatever. Anyone. So victims never get better. Victims stay sick. So now I can get better. You know what's so neat about that is I don't have to wait for you to get better for me to get better. Because if I'm waiting for you to get better, guess what? You got all the power. God don't have it. I've given it to you. And guess what? You ain't never going to get better, so I'm going to get sicker. So anyhow, it goes on to say this. Okay, if you want to get better, the only condition, that is a requirement for sobriety, by the way, that he trusts in God and clean house. Oh, okay, steps 3 through 9. I get it. Okay. Now the domestic problem. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. But when your prospect has made such reparations, oh, that's the amend step, not to say I'm sorry, but repair, 8 and 9, as he can to his family, has slowly explained that he's living on new principles, the 12 steps, by which he is living, not talking, not theorizing, not preaching, living. What you do speaks so loudly, people aren't going to listen to what you say. Don't tell me. Show me, okay? He should proceed to put these principles into action at his home. We talked about that. Practice these principles in all affairs. That is, if he's lucky enough to have a home. Though his family is at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Obviously, don't talk it, walk it. Demonstration. Now, a lot of alcoholics get offended when I say this, but you got to get a new hobby. Listen to what he says. Argument and fault-finding are to be avoided like the plague. If I quit arguing and finding fault, you know how much extra time I'm going to have in a day? Oh, it's going to be, it's glorious. Yeah, you got to find a new habit. I didn't say that. New hobby. Argument and fault-finding are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must, not should, could, ought to, be done if any results are to be expected. If you don't want any results, keep on arguing and keep on fault-finding, and you can just be as miserable as you want to be. We talked about that. In other words, get in your own hula hoop. Stay there. Don't go in anybody else's. Don't let anybody else's in yours. And guess what? That's how you live happily ever after. Okay. Now, if persistent for a few months, the effect of man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover that they have a basis which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their defects and admit them. Then that can be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. We were just talking about that earlier today with somebody who's having a difficult family situation, living conditions. After, not before, okay? After they've seen the tangible results, the family will perhaps will get along. My experience has been it was absolutely amazing. I couldn't believe how much better people got when I got better. Isn't that something? They weren't the SOBs after all, so I guess I had a broken pair of glasses and was looking on the outside and should have been looking on the end. It's absolutely fascinating. The better I get, the better they get. A lot of wonderful people in the world. Isn't that something? Okay, yeah. Anyhow, it says, these things will come to pass naturally and in good time. T-I-M-E. Got to give time, and time is things I must earn. Ain't going to come to you any other way, and God ain't going to give it to you until he's ready to say you're ready to have it, and you're ready to take care of it. Okay. Then it says, provided, however, the alcoholic continues to demonstrate that he can be sober, considerate, and helpful. What? Regardless of what anyone says or does. Oh, so they got to be jerks, but I still got to be sober, considerate, and helpful. Why, oh boy, what an order. I can't go through with it. Okay, now it says, of course, we all fall much below this standard many times, but we must, not should, could, ought to, try to repair the damage, not to say I'm sorry, immediately. That doesn't say next month, next year, next decade, okay? Immediately, lest we pay the penalty of a spree. That is a good reason why I better be doing 10 or 11 on a daily basis. He just got done telling me. Remember, everything that we've had up to this point in time comes alive. Now, if there's a divorce or separation, there should be no undue haste for the couple to get back together. The man should be sure of his recovery, not just not drinking. The wife should fully understand his new way of life. That's the 12 steps of design and living. If the old relation is to be resumed, it must, not should, could, ought to, be on a better basis since the former one didn't work. This means a new, never had it before, attitude and spirit all around. I can't do anything about theirs, but I sure can do it about mine. And it's contagious, okay? Sometimes it is in best interest of all concerned the couple will remain apart. Obviously, no rule can be laid down. Let the alcohol continue his program, the steps, not the fellowship, day by day. When the time for living together has come, it will become apparent to both parties. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. Obviously, we don't need people, places, and things. We need God, okay? This just isn't so. In some cases, the wife will never come back, and for one reason or another, remind the prospect, once again, that his recovery, not quitting drinking, is not dependent on people. It is dependent upon who? His relationship with God. Second time, he says to make sure here, page 98. And it says, we've seen people get well, recover, whose family have not returned at all. Have we seen others slip when they came back too soon? And if you are separated and you're asking for them to come back, be careful what you ask for. You might get it, okay? Now, I love this. Next promise in the book, and this is one promise, it says, both you and the new man must, not should, could, ought to, walk day by day in the path. What is the path? Really, we've seen the person fail thoroughly followed our path, these 12 steps, of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. Yes. Promise, okay. And it says, when we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. I'm here to tell you, if I would have dreamed for, hoped for, everything I was, sold myself short what God's done. And he's got a long way to go. Now listen to what it says. It says, follow the dictates of your higher power and you will presently live in a new, never had before, and wonderful world no matter what your circumstances. I'm going to say it and we got time. This came to me. I was in the dark night of the soul in that halfway house. She was gone. The four kids were gone. Embezzlement charges. There was just no light at the end of the tunnel. I'll never forget it. We had an outside building at this halfway house. I was on my hands and knees praying at that time, and something came over me. And at that time, in the bleakest time of my life, it was the happiest that I ever was. The reason being, I had nothing left but God. And that's when I found out that's all I ever needed to begin with. And anything else that comes my way, that's icing on the cake. And it was the worst. I mean, I couldn't begin. We ain't got time to tell you how bad. It was the bottom of the ninth. I was up the bat, and there was no hitter. And I had two strikes and one more strike, and that was it. It was over. But that was the happiest time of my recovery, and I've just been never looked back since then. So what he's saying in that book is not just a fluffy, nice sentence or whatever. It's the reality of a real alcoholic of the hopeless variety, and that's how it came to me, and I'm sure it's happened to all of us in this room. That's what it says. And it says, in other words, God's plans are better than any man's dreams. Okay? It goes on to say, when working with a new man and his family, you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. You may spoil the chance of being helpful if you do, but urge upon the family's man that he's a very sick person and should be treated accordingly. You should warn against arousing resentment or jealousy. You should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. Show him that he's entered upon a period of growth. Ask them to remember when they are impatient. Third time he talks about that. The blessed fact of his sobriety. Isn't that cool how he goes, new man, family, family, new man, family, new man, family. Isn't that cool? Okay, and it says, if you have been successful in solving your own domestic problems, plural, more than one, okay, tell the newcomer's family how that was accomplished. In this way, you can set them on the right track without being critical of them. The story of how you and your wife settled your difficulties is worth any amount of criticism. That is absolutely powerful. Assuming we're spiritually fit. To be spiritually fit, we must do spiritual exercises. Do you remember what he said on page 85? The 12 promises regarding alcohol. Guess what? We got 8 more promises about alcohol if you tap in to the sixth sense of direction, if you're in the fourth dimension. Listen to where he puts this, alcoholics, for us, working with others. That's what he says. Assuming we're spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things that alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. I'm going to go ahead and say it was real quick, and we're almost out of time. The kids and grandkids had an anniversary for Lorraine and I at dinner. It was down at Little Joe's down in the valley. Of all places, God's got a great sense of humor. It's what's called in the wine room. We walked in this thing, and there were thousands of bottles of wine. Bottles to the right of me, bottles to the left of me. They had the cooler in there. And I was laughing my ass off. I said, Daddy, I get it. I said, this is perfect. So anyhow, I started getting these bottles. Some of that stuff was 120, 150. Or whatever. I said, man, are you kidding me? Even my daughter-in-law said, you know what? After there's done with dinner, would you lay on the table with all these wine bottles around here? I want to take a picture of you. It was just great, man. And you know what? That's one of the freest I've ever been because of this. And I told you about that, too. About son number one when he got married, and the custom is that the groom's family a lot of times will pay for alcohol, and it was a big wedding, expensive, yada, yada. The liquor bill was either $5,000 or $7,000. I paid $7,000 worth of alcohol, and I didn't have a drop of it. Thank you, God! Yeah! You know what? Don't tell me God don't have a sense of humor. Oh, man. He's twisted. I love it, man. Get it. So anyhow, that just happened to me. So anyhow, it goes on. It said, we must not have it in our homes. We must shun our friends who drink it. We must avoid moving pictures. We show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go in their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol. No, there's 8 more things that you can do once you have the spiritual awakening. Our experience, a word, okay, shows that it's not necessarily so. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his sponsor. Oh, no, his spiritual status. Come on, y'all. How many times he's going to say, God, 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 God. I get it. Not my psychiatrist, not my sponsor, not my home group, not my wife, not my children, not my job, not my money, not my motorcycle. God. Okay. I'm starting to get it working with others, but that happens to be directions on us. Okay, now, and it says, his only chance for sobriety would be someplace like the Greenland ice cap, and even there an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Those Eskimos, oh, I tell you what. Ask any woman who sent her husband to distant places on the theory that he would escape the alcohol program. Bill knew about this, and that's why I go to Dr. Bob's house. There's a bottle on the counter at Dr. Bob's. Reason being, he insisted. It drove Annie nuts, and he said, no, if he's going to recover from this thing, he's got to be. He knew from the get-go, alcohol is going to be everywhere. And then back in the 30s, it's not like where it is now. I mean, it is everywhere. Probably they're serving in some churches now, but anyhow, different story for a different day. But he knew. He knew you got to be in a world with it. You ain't going to put yourself in a hole and live in a world by yourself, because if that's your treatment plan or if it's planning your recovery, you are going to drink. Okay, so it goes on to say, and it says, in our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to failure. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. We have tried these methods, these attempts to do the impossible have always failed. Not sometimes, not most of the time, not a lot of time, not quite a bit of time. Tell you how it happened to me, too, real quick, if we can, about this, is when I was in that halfway house, as I was leaving, found out that the company that fired me, I was vested. I had a 410K, retirement. Thousands, double-digit thousands. I had enough money to burn a wet mule, okay? And I had recovered, and I took that money instead of doing what I always did with it. I came back to the Akron area, and this was before we knew we were getting back together. I was willing to give it to her and those four kids to where they could have a house to live in because I made them homeless. What I'm saying about that, there would have been a time when I had a dollar in my pocket. You know where that was going, but I had many, many, many thousands back then. And guess what? God had restored me to sanity, yes, and the will came back and everything like that. Absolutely fascinating. So many of these stories in here is the reality of my life, and we'll share them as go. And I know we're getting there. So anyhow, and it says, so our rule is never to avoid a place where there is drinking, squiggly writing, if we have a legitimate reason for being there. That includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, weddings, and even plain ordinary whoopee parties. I love that part of whoopee party. If you don't know what that is, look up your Webster's or I don't know. Yeah. Go seek some advice on that. Whoopee parties, they were good. But the trouble with that, they always ended up in trouble. So anyhow, to a person who has had this experience, another E word with an alcoholic, this may seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. You will note that we made an important qualification. Therefore, ask yourself on each occasion, have I got any good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure, and that is felt by imagined participation in others' experience. Vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere of such a place. If you answer these questions satisfactorily, you need to have no apprehension. Go or stay away, whichever seems best. But be sure you are on solid spiritual ground, or the path is solid, the 12 steps, before you start, and that your motive in going is thoroughly good. Do not think what you can get out of the occasion. Think what you can bring to it. That is advice for everywhere I go. It's no longer getting, it's given. Users are losers. Givers are winners. And by the way, if you haven't found out yet, losers focus on winners. Winners focus on winning. And you'll see that and you will hear that around the tables of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, it goes on to say, think of what you can bring to it, but if you're shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. All right, it goes on to say, obviously, while sitting with long faces in places where there is drinking, sighing about the good old days, if there's a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure of those there. If a business occasion, go to attend your business enthusiastically. If you're a person who wants to eat in a bar, by all means, go along with it. Let your friends know that they are not to change their habits on your account. At the proper time and place, explain to your friends why alcohol disagrees with you. So in other words, say, if I start drinking, I'm going to steal your wife, your kids, your dog, and your checkbook. And they won't be saying, do you want a drink, dude? No, they won't. No. Okay, and it says, if you do this thoroughly, I just told you that, few people will ask you to drink. While you were drinking, you were withdrawing from life little by little. Now you're getting back into the social life of this world. Don't start to withdraw again just because your friends drink liquor. Your job. Uh-oh, here we go. Purpose of step 12. We've had a lot of purposes, but here it is. Come on, y'all, and it's going to tie up where we're at. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. Remember what it said, step 9, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be a maximum service to God and those people about us, page 77. He just got done telling us again, okay? And it says to others, so never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth, sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Sordid is dirty, filthy, squalor, scandal, nasty. Okay, keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. I'm going to go ahead and say it, and my experience too. The will of God never will lead you where His grace won't keep you. And I tell you, I've been to some sordid spots. I'm talking about on this side of the bottle. It's a beautiful thing. I can go anywhere. I mean anywhere. I don't care. I'm talking penitentiaries. I mean, I'm talking any city, any part of that sea, anywhere. If God's got me going there, He's got my back. He's got my back. I know that because I'm still alive. Can't explain it any other way. It says, go on to this. And it says, many of us keep liquor in our homes. We often need it to carry green recruits through severe hangovers. Some of us still serve it to our friends, provided they are not alcoholic. But some of us think we should not serve liquor anymore. We never argue this question. We feel that each family, in the light of their own circumstances, ought to decide for themselves. See how he does again. Family. Working with others, family. Isn't that cool? Okay. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as any institution. Uh-oh, that E word again. Experience shows us that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Every, not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few, every new alcoholic looks for the spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners. A spirit of intolerance might repeal alcoholics whose lives could have been saved for it had not been such stupidity. That's powerful. Okay. It says, we would not even do the cause of temper drinking any good, for not one drinker in 1,000 likes to be told anything about alcohol for someone who hates it. Someday, we hope Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public to better understand the realization of gravity of the alcoholic problem, but we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness and hostilities. Drinkers will not stand for it. Squiggly writing. Okay. After all, our problems, plural, were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Oh, I think he said that on page 64. Remember, liquor's but a symptom. Okay. Besides, we have stopped fighting anyone or anything. Oh, that's right. That's one of the promises on page 84. We have to. Now, we're going to close up with this real quick. Yeah, I know. I said it. What he said, our problems are our own making. You want to know how problems start? And then it turns into troubles of our own making? It's real simple. If I'm right with God, I'm going to be right with me. That means I can be right with you in the world. If I'm not right with God, I'm not going to be right with me, and I'm not going to be right with you. So if I'm right with God and with the world, it goes on, and it's going to be what it is. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. But when I'm on self, and life goes on, I look at something, and I say or think it should be that way. Guess what? That opportunity to grow has turned into a problem. That problem becomes trouble when I attack it with self-will. My problems are my own making. My troubles are my own making. We cease fighting anyone, anything, even alcohol. So, when we go, this chapter, like I said, reviews what we've learned in the preceding 6 chapters, doctor's opinion, tells us how to tell them, gives us directions on how to help them, when and what not to, and so on and so forth, and it's real simple. I used to be like you, and somebody helped me through this book, and I will do the same for you. Now, we are the experts on this. Next week, if we please come back to the wives. And like I said, in the family afterwards, the employers and a vision for you. I joke about it, but I'm serious about it. Some of the best AAs in those chapters. Somebody says, well, I don't know. Well, I'm not going to come back. I don't have a wife. I had six of them, and it didn't work. No. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't have a family. I lost that. That's not what it's about. And I love this one. It says to the employers, I don't work and don't want to work, and I'm not a boss. I said, no, that's about that. And then last but not least, a vision for you. So what I'm saying is do yourself a favor. We've come a long, long way from the cover page to the first part of step 12. But like I said, and I promise you, some of the best is yet to come. How about if we can close with the Lord's Prayer? Thank you.